How many need a challenge these days? Probably most of us need a good old-fashioned challenge. Thank you for the children's church being dismissed right now. And speaking of a challenge, I heard about a lady that had four children. And somebody said, well, what are their names? She said, Eeny, Meeny, Miney, and George. They said, what? Eeny, Meeny, Miney, and George? Why didn't you name them Eeny, Meeny, Miney, and Moe? The lady said, because I didn't want no Moe. I didn't want no Moe, all right? So I don't know about that, but I know a challenge that God wants to give you today. And I believe the Lord is going to challenge us all. Here's the title of the message. I've been really praying about today's service, trust me. And the title of the message is, Meet Me at the Altar. Meet Me at the Altar. Will you say it with me? Meet Me at the Altar. Say it again, please. You can do better. One more time. Everybody, it's cloudy outside, I know, but it's not cloudy inside. Amen. Meet me at the altar. Will you meet me at the altar? That's the title of the message. Meet me at the altar. Why? And you know why. I want to give you three challenges. Hey, everybody that's saved, everybody here that is a Christian still is going to be challenged. And everybody who's not saved is still going to be challenged today. Three challenges. As we open our Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. The challenge is meet me at the altar. Are you going to meet me at the altar today? By the way, when's the last time you've been to the altar? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Find Timothy and find 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want to begin reading in verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Before we read the text, let me remind you a little bit about what's going on in this particular chapter. First of all, Paul the Apostle is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to his son in the Lord, namely a young man named Timothy, who, by the way, had a good testimony both in the church and outside the church. Well, where was Timothy and what was he doing? I'm glad you asked, because Paul was addressing his young son in the Lord, Timothy, and he was giving him instructions concerning how he should function within the confines of the local church. What do you mean, brother pastor? I mean this. There were issues that they were going through at this church. And by the way, the church was the church of Ephesus. And evidently they were getting kind of confused on some things like genealogies and like science, so-called. And they were having trouble evidently loving each other. And therefore, Paul addressed his son of the Lord, Timothy, and he says, address these things. And he does, along other things, concerning unfeigned faith and unfeigned love. That is, love that's pure without hypocrisy. And we come to chapter 2 of the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2. 1 Timothy, chapter 2. Meet me at the altar. Meet me at the altar. We come to chapter 2 of the book of 1 Timothy. And if you'd like to stand as we read the wonderful word of God, you may do so right now. I begin reading in verse 1. I exhort, therefore, and the word exhort there is the word parakaleo, which means an urge. Paul says, I urge, I exhort you, Timothy. I urge you, I appeal to you. I exhort, therefore, chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, I want you to underline all the times that Paul says all in these first few verses. All men. Underline the word supplication. Underline the word prayer. Underline the word intercessions. Underline the word giving of thanks. Why? Because we'll come back to it in a moment. But look at this, verse 2. For kings and for all, there it is again, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet, that's a serene, a peaceable, quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable, notice, in the sight of God, our Savior. How many know that God's watching us? Let me see your hand. Do you know that God is watching us? Look up here just a moment. God is watching you. I said, God is watching you. I said, God is watching you. And I said, God is watching you. And God is watching me. And so we don't have to act like he's not watching us. He's watching us. And I don't know any other better motive for serving the Lord and loving the Lord and really letting the Lord have his way with us today, to know that he's watching us. Paul says, God is watching you now. Keep reading, please. Verse number 4. And then he says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, we know all men won't be saved because the Lord Jesus made it clear. Wide, broad is the gate that leads to destruction. Straight and narrow is the gate that leads to everlasting life. And few there be that find it. But we know this, it's the will of the Father for all to come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God's not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. He's not slack concerning his promises. So, do I have to pray about God saving somebody? I don't really have to pray. I need to pray for them, yes. But I know it's the will of God. Jesus came to die for all. There is what he's saying. He desire, verse 4, for all men to be saved. Keep reading, verse 4. He's desire for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That word knowledge is the word epigenosis. Epigenosis. Epigenosis means not just head knowledge, experiential knowledge. I know the Lord. I just don't know about Jesus. I know him. I woke up this morning, praise God, and he was there with me. But wait a minute. Look at verse number 5. For there is one God and one mediator, that is one go-between, between God and man, or men, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom payment for all. There it is again, all. Do you notice all the alls? Verse 1, all men. Verse 2, for all that are in authority. Verse number verse 6, all men. And then Paul wraps this, what I want to share this morning, in verse 7. Whereunto I'm ordained or appointed a preacher. That word preacher means a proclaimer. A preacher and an apostle. That is, he saw the Lord, eyewitness. That was the credentials or the criteria for an apostle, to be eyewitness of Jesus. And therefore, Paul was blinded on the road to Damascus. Therefore, he saw the Lord in his glory. And so he says, verse 7, whereunto I'm ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. This is the word of the Lord. Meet me at the altar. Meet me at the altar. Father, I want to thank you again for this beautiful day. Lord, this is the day that you've made. I thank you, Lord, as it's already been prayed, for the help you give us to allow us to come to worship you, the living God of heaven and earth. And I just ask now that you'll speak to us and you'll change us. And Father, you'll have your will and way with us. Cleanse us of all sin. Cleanse my heart. And Father, I ask you, God, to change us and give us ears to hear the truth of your word and hearts to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, and the irrefutable truth that, Jesus, you are the truth. And I pray now that you'll bless the people that have come. Oh, God, you know the beginning and the end, the past, present, future. And, Father, we believe your coming is imminent, Jesus. And that is, we want to be ready, but we also want to occupy until you come. You said, Lord, work for this day, but it's coming a night when no man can work. And I pray, Father God, for the filling of your Holy Spirit to enable us to be godly men and godly women and godly husbands and godly wives and godly daddies and godly mamas and Lord, godly servants. Oh, God, deliver us from the evil one and keep us focused on your will and your way and your word. And all for your glory. Thank you, God, what you're doing in your church. Thank you, Father, for the plans you have for us. I pray you'll open our eyes today to see your glorious plan for us in our individual lives and in your church. And we just thank you now again for the blood, the cross, the empty tomb. Oh, God, just glorify your name. And we thank you now that you called us to serve you. You said to your disciples, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And you said, if any man wants to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. So, Father, deliver us from distractions. Father, help us to lay aside all the worldly cares. You said when we come in that parable of the sower, that the thorns and the thistles will choke out the life of your word because of the cares of this life. Liken them to the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. So, Father, we don't want the word to be snatched away by the fowls, the dirty fowls and the birds that would snatch away what you're sowing this morning. We want our hearts to be plowed up. We want our minds to be alert and quickened that we might hear from heaven. And Father, we'd yield our total being to you because you bought us with your own blood. And you're coming back for us. So be glorified, we pray. Move on in on us, Lord, today. God, please rend the heavens and manifest your glory. Thank you that you're alive, and thank you that you're on your throne, and thank you that, God, you've got a Lord, and one day you're coming again. Thank you for the time of praise and worship. Now, God, we love you because of your love for us, and we look to you now to save the lost, revive the saved, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Meet me at the altar. Meet me at the altar. Well, here's where we're going in the text today. Number one, the first challenge that I want to share with you is number one. Are you ready? Will you meet me at the altar and will you get down on your knees and pray? I'm challenging you as your pastor. I love you. But will you get down on your knees and pray? When's the last time you got down on your knees and prayed? When's the last time you came to an old-fashioned altar? You say, but Pastor, I can pray in my home. I understand. I can too. But I want to tell you something. Let's be serious. Now we ought to be praying for our families. How many of you are praying for your families? Let me see your hand. Question. Tell me the truth now. Don't lie about it. We're in church. How many have been praying for the church lately? Hallelujah. How many are going to pray for the church today? Hallelujah. I challenge you, meet me at the altar. And let's get down our knees and pray. Hey, that's what we're supposed to be doing, right? That's not a sin. That's not something that's wrong. God knows we need to get down on our knees and pray. We've been miserable, haven't we? We've been depressed, haven't we? We've been discouraged, haven't we? We've been frustrated, haven't we? We've been stressed out, haven't we? Oh, yeah, that's why we need to get on our knees and pray. That's why we need to get on our knees and pray. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And I tell you, there's no remedy, there's no cure, there's no prescription like prayer. I'm glad somebody said amen. Because that is the, look at me. When's the last, look at me, please. Please look up here just a moment. When's the last time you got on your knees and prayed? When? 6 months ago? All I'm asking you is your pastor, I don't feel like it's out of line for me to ask you to pray, do you? Certainly not. Will you get down on your knees and pray? I'm telling you, God blesses us when we seek him, amen. But often we do everything else but pray. We're just so busy these days. And so that's first, I want to challenge you. Will you meet me at the altar and get down on your knees and pray? I find that in verse 1 of the text, number 2. Will you not only meet me at the altar and get down on our knees and pray for each other, pray for the ministry, pray for our community, pray for our nation? But number 2, will you not only get on your knees and pray, but will you get up? And I'll come back to it in a moment. Get up and walk like a man, a Christian, a woman. And then number 3, will you go out and tell the good news? That is, go out and go and glow and glow for the glory of the Lord, as someone has said. And then, first of all, let me just share with you, will you meet me at the altar today? This is not profound. This is not something that you can't understand, although we're going to be getting to a word study here in a moment. This is very simple. I'm asking you a question. Will you meet me at the altar and pray? Either yes or no. Now, if you say no, I'm going to say, why not? Why won't you meet me at the altar and pray? Are you wanting to keep doing things your own way? Are you wanting to still be miserable? Are you wanting to be self-sufficient? Are you not wanting God's way? You say, well, Pastor, nobody's going to tell me what to do. That's a stubborn attitude, amen? Hey, we need to be told sometimes, well, bless the Lord, we need to pray. We need to get with God today. And so that's what I'm challenging you. That's all this is a challenge. Will you meet me at the altar and pray? I know many of you say yes. Some of you got the brakes on. Why do you got the brakes on? What are you going through right now? Why don't you learn and may God teach me to learn how to yield to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? He loves you. He's got your best interest in mind. He'll do more for you than you can do for yourself. The sooner you learn that, the better off you are. You've tried things your way. You've tried, and I've tried things my way. And it gets us in a mess. Can I get an amen? It gets us in a mess. That's why God's calling you and me. Let's get on our knees and pray. That's where I find verse 1. All right, go back to verse 1, okay? And then we'll come back in a moment. I exhort, therefore. I urge, therefore. Again, I appeal, therefore, that first of all, Paul's talking to Timothy, and he's talking to us today. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks, plural, be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority. Hold your place. What does he mean? Can I give you three ways when you come to the altar to pray today? Three ways that we ought to pray. Number one, and by the way, this is something you've probably read, the Acts adoration when we pray, praising the Lord for who he is. Confession of our sins to get on praying ground. Thanksgiving, we'll come to that in a moment. And then supplication. All right? But let's see the text. The text says these are the ways we ought to pray. Three ways. Are you ready? When we get down on our knees and pray, there's two parts to this, what I want to share. Number one, how should we pray? You got it? How should we pray? And then number two, who shall we pray for? First, how shall we pray? When we come to the altar, how should we pray? Well, Paul gives us the answer right here, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. He said that we should pray, watch this, with all supplication and prayer and intercession with thanksgiving. Now, I know that you want to know, like I wanted to know, what in the world does this word supplication mean, right? Here it is right here. And when it took some time to break it down, deosis is the Greek word. Deosis. It means supplication or prayer or entreaty. Simple as that. And we can, if you write notes, you might want to know Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. You know what Paul said to the church of Philippi. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Prayer and supplication. They're hand in hand. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. And then the peace of God. The peace of God. And money can't buy that. And the world can't take that away. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know what supplication really means in layman's terms or on our everyday language? You know what it means? It means this. It means telling God your needs. Now, question, how many have got needs this morning? Everybody's got needs this morning. Every one of us have got needs this morning. Well, are you telling God your needs? Now, I know the order of this may not be in the order that really we ought to be praying, but nonetheless, we're coming to supplications first. Telling God your needs. Lord, you know that I've got this need, and Father, I need strength for today, and Lord, I need peace for tomorrow and today, and God, I need wisdom. You know, it doesn't take but one, watch this, please listen, one bad decision can mess you up. It can mess you up. One bad decision. Y'all hear me? One bad decision. And there any of us go, yet by the grace of God. We've got to watch where we step. And that's why you need to meet me at the altar. Because, you see, outside of the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I are prone to walk in the flesh and not walk in the Spirit. And so that's what Paul said, walk in the Spirit, and you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, Lord, I need you to give me wisdom. I need you to be my wisdom. I need you, Lord, to protect me day and night. Supplication. But there's something else. Notice, I like what one little boy said to his mama. He said, Mama, you can't be good without praying. He said, you can't be good, Mama, without praying. She said, what? He said, Mama, you can't be good without praying. She said, what do you mean by that? How do you know you can't be good without praying? He said, because I done tried it, Mama. I tried it, Mama, and you can't be good without praying. I'm going to tell you something. You and I can't really be in the will of God without praying either. That's right. You can't be in the will of God. Now, I don't care how much you've been sitting in church, and I don't care how much you've been preaching or teaching, I don't care how much you've been teaching, so I don't care what all your credentials are. How many know that it's every day with Jesus? We got to walk with the Lord every day. Amen. And it's every day confessing and repenting and walking in the light as He is in the light, no matter what you've done in the past. Well, supplication. Secondly, notice He said prayers. The word prosyuka is the word for prayers, and basically prayer means prayer. But now, the second word, not only supplication and prayer, I'm just coupling prayer with all of these words. The second word that I want to draw to your attention, found in chapter 2 and verse 1, meet me at the altar. And it's the word intercession. Say that with me. Intercession. Say it again. What does that mean? Here's the word right here, intercessions. In eucus is the Greek word. I'm not trying to be a know-it-all. I'm just telling you, if you want to know the actual meaning of the word, here it is. Here's the word. And these words have meaning. And by the way, sometimes words we read in the Bible don't necessarily have English meanings that we think they do. And that's why we got to be real careful about what we try to, how we interpret the Bible, and to really be a student of the Word of God. And that's why Sunday morning and Sunday night and Sunday school is very important for you to come, is so that you won't mishandle the Word of God and tell somebody something that's really not true. I'm not saying you do it on purpose, but sometimes out of ignorance, because we really don't know. But we got to make ourselves available to study the Word of God, because our family depends on it, our friends depend on it, our very testimony depends on it, and we're not to be babies drinking milk anymore, but we're to be men and women eating the meat of God, growing in Christ, being soldiers of the cross. So that's why we're doing this today. And I know you're doing that, and I know you are. So the word intercession, watch this, it means approaching the king. Here's a technical definition. Approaching the king, hence a technical term. It's intercession. In other words, I'm going in behalf of somebody else. All right, I want to ask you a question. Y'all look up here just a minute, please. Everybody, look up here just for a moment. How many know somebody you need to pray for today? You don't know anybody to pray for? Everybody ought to have somebody to pray for. You got somebody you're going to pray for? I got somebody I'm going to pray for. Look, if you're not praying for somebody, there's something wrong with you. Either you're not a Christian or you're not in touch with God. Because God ought to have people on your heart to pray for. And by the way, there's some people out there who are, watch this, they're not where they ought to. Come on now, and there I go yet, by the grace of God. There's some people out there who are not walking with God, and they need somebody to get a hold of God. And you're the one to do it. That's why it's important for you not to be a lethargic, lukewarm, complacent Christian. Your family's at stake. Your children and friends and folks around you. I know you get tired. I know you feel like, you know, well, you know, it's a lot of work. But I want to tell you something. The alternative for you and me not being right with God is not a good option. So just don't think that way. Perish the thought. Hey, we need to get a hold of God today. I will meet you at the altar, and your family's dependent on you and me interceding. That's what interceding means. Praying on behalf. All right, quickly. How many of you got somebody that's on your mind and heart, and you know they need prayer? Every one of us do. Not only in our family, but in our neighborhood community. Will you meet me at the altar? Yes, you will. I know you will. You will. Intercession. Praying on behalf of each other. And by the way, if you can't think of anybody else to pray, pray for me. Bless the Lord. I need your prayers. I'm serious. I need your prayers. And by the way, the other morning, Wednesday morning, I woke up, and I appreciate you praying for the revival down at Bethany Baptist Church. God really blessed. But Wednesday morning, I woke up, I couldn't even talk. I mean, say, praise the Lord for that, Brother Pastor. It reminded me of the preacher that stood up, and the first time he preached 10 minutes. The church said, man, we like him. And the second time he preached for an hour and a half. They said, we don't know about all this. They said, what's the difference, preacher? One time you preach 10 minutes, the next time an hour and a half. What's the difference? He said, the first time I preached, I had my teeth in. The second time I preached, I had my wife's teeth in. That'd be opposite with me, all right? But look, intercession. How can we pray? Here's how we can pray. Number one, and I'll give you, the Lord gave me three words. They start with R. This is a good way to pray. Not because I thought of it, but it just gives you an idea. If you've got other ways to pray, that's fine. Number one, and this is what I'm going to pray for the loved ones, and this is what I'm going to pray not only for those in authority like President Trump and Mike Pence and the governors and the senators. By the way, I heard about one chaplain. They said to him, he said, "Sir, do you pray for the senators?" And the chaplain said, "He said, I look at the senators and I pray for our country. I'm telling you, I pray for our country." Anyway, here's how we can pray. Number one, pray for God to release his power. Release his power. God's got power. How many believe God's got power? Power belongs unto God. I've told you once. I've told you twice. Power belongs unto God. And thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. That's Psalm 1, chapter 110, verse 3. And it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. As I was saying, I got up Wednesday morning, I could not even talk. I couldn't even say hello. It wouldn't come out. All this sinus stuff, and it's going around down there. I'm sorry, but it is. And all this stuff's going around. We call it the crud up here. And got a hold of it on Tuesday. And I said, "Dear Lord," on Wednesday, I said, "God, I don't know. I can't even talk." I mean, well, that's not good for a preacher not to be able to talk. And I said, "What am I to do about tonight? God, I need you to touch my voice." Well, I'll be honest with you. I still couldn't whisper a word on Wednesday night right before the service. When I stood up to preach, it was like God opened up the channels. And praise the Lord, I was able to preach just as if I didn't have, any problem at all. And I knew it was God doing it. To him be glory. And I praise the Lord for it. What a great God we've got. But as we pray today, here's why we pray. Number one, release R. Lord, I pray you release your anointing, your power, release your glory on this nation, on our families. Lord, release our dear God, the blessings from heaven. Help us to get in line with your blessings. Release. Number two, restrain. Lord, restrain the works of evil. I'm telling you, it takes somebody that's willing to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Ezekiel said in chapter 22 and verse 30, I sought for a man that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge, and I could not find one. God's looking for some intercessors. God's looking for some men and women he can pray through. And I'll be honest with you. This is my personal opinion, okay? I'm not too impressed with these mega churches. I'm glad for them. But I'll be honest with you. I would rather have a church that knows how to pray, get a hold of God, and have the anointing of God on its life, regardless of the size of the church, than have the biggest church in the world. The glory of God and the power of God and the anointing of God, you can't substitute it. I don't care about the bells and whistles and all the circus and elephants and all that stuff to get the mega mentality. I'm not being critical. I'm just simply stating some facts. But the glory of the anointing of God, and have a church to say, "Man, that them folk down there, they're praying. They're praying." And I'm not just talking about when Grandpa Grandpa stumps his toe. I'm not talking about, when you sneeze. I'm talking about lost sinners given to Jesus, that the convicting power of a living God will wrestle them down. And they'll be miserable. They won't be able to eat or drink or function until they get right with God. How many believe God can do that? God can do that. God's real, man. And if we'll trust him, if we'll believe him, meet me at the altar and pray for God to restrain. Oh, God, lift up the standard against the enemy. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. That's Isaiah 59, verse 19. So we need God to restrain the works of the evil one. And then not only restrain and release, but number three, what about number three? Number three stands for raise up. How many of you all know somebody right now in your family and you say, "But bless the Lord, I'm not able to do a whole lot. I'm limited what I can do for them." Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about. I'm limited what I can do for them, but I can pray that God will raise up some people around them to point them to Jesus. Will you pray that? Will you meet me at the altar? God's able to bring people in their life. You believe that? I said, God's able to bring people in their life. You believe that? that you can't get to them, and you can't talk to them, and they'll shut you out, and they'll close you off, and they don't want to hear what you have to say. But God will answer the prayers of his people according to his will for his glory, and he's able to raise up people around them and able to get to them when we can't get to them. Meet me at the altar. Why? To pray. Seek the Lord. Prayer. Notice. Supplications. Intercessions. And then do you notice the third word? I'm still on point one. Meet me at the altar. Get down on your knees and pray. Number three. As we pray not only with supplications in verse one, and not only with intercessions, but what's that next word in verse 1? See if you're reading. See if you're following me. What's the next word in verse 1? How should we pray? What's the next word? Very good. Thanksgiving. Say it with me. See, that's how we ought to pray. Here's the word right here. Eucharistia. Where we get our word Eucharist. Eucharistia. And here is the word which means thanksgiving. Gratitude. And so as we get down on our knees to pray, we ought to pray with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. God, you've been good to me. Lord, you've been good to me, Lord. I want to come and praise you, Father, that you've been good to me. I thank you, Lord, for the help you give me today. Amen. I thank you, Lord, for the family you've given me. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the friends you've given me. Lord, thank you for the church family you've given me. Thank you for the church. And not only that, but God, the heavenly home you've given me. Lord, thank you for a roof over my head and food on the table and clothes on my back. Oh, God, I want to thank you that you're preserving me day after day, praying with thanksgiving. You know what, beloved? If we'll just start thanking God what we do have, it will surely help us to not complain about what we don't have. When's the last time you thanked God for what you do have? Oh, but he knows it. Well, we ought to say it. You ought to say it. Will you join me at the altar and pray? Now, I know sometimes when we're going through things, it's difficult to give thanks when you're not feeling good, and you're taking antibiotics and all that stuff. But you ought to give thanks anyway. Amen. You ought to give thanks anyway. In everything, give thanks. Let's say that together. In everything, give thanks. One more time. Are you sure it says everything, or does it say just when things are going good, give thanks? It says, in everything, give thanks. Why? Because God knows that an attitude of gratitude will determine your altitude. You've got a bad attitude, it's not going to get you very far. All right, so here it is. Number one, will you meet me at the altar and get on your knees? Now, notice what he says. I want to point this out, too. I was reading the text, and I came across this word, and I thought it'd be interesting for us to note together. Notice in verse 1, I exhort therefore, first of all, supplicate. Look at verse 1. I exhort therefore, first of all supplications, prayers. We've already defined the word supplications. We've defined the word prayers. We've defined the word intercessions. And we've defined the word giving of thanks be made for, notice, for all men. For all men. Say that with me. For all men. Now, when I first came to this text, I wondered, does this mean praying for all men? Or does this mean praying in behalf of all men? What does this really mean? Because he says again in verse 2, for kings. Look at verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority. So what's this mean? Here's the word for. The word is a preposition. You that are going to school know what a preposition is, and all of us really do. It means hooper. And here is the word, in behalf of, praying in behalf of. That's what it means, in behalf of or above, in behalf of. That is, I'm giving thanks, I'm praying, I'm making prayers, thanks, in behalf of all men. In behalf of all men. That means interceding. Will you meet me at the altar and pray? Number two. Not only will you meet me at the altar and pray, but, by the way, this word kings is the word basileus. And this word, of course, kings, rulers, means those in authority. And that's what we ought to pray for our president. Pray for those in authority. Your teachers, your school teachers, the Some of those that are in authority, government, church, and home, God's delegated those. And so that's what Paul is saying. Meet me at the altar and pray. And those in authority. And then he says right here, and for all, here's the word authority right here. I thought I'd just get that. Quickly, number two, will you not only meet me at the altar and get on your knees and pray, but number two, will you meet me at the altar and get up and live like a Christian? You know, can I say this? Try to do as kind as I can, tactful as I can. We don't need all the talk. We need the walk as much as we do the talk. There's a lot of people today, watch this, there's a lot of people today that are talking the talk, Christian stuff. They've sat in church long enough that they know how to talk Christian terms. But lifestyle is the real proof. If you're not living what you're saying, then it's nothing more than a hypocrite, right? So when you come to the altar to pray, then let's don't just go through the motions and pretend like we're just, you know, everything's okay. We got to get serious with God and get up off the, when you pray, after you pray, walk the talk. Walk the talk. Now, that doesn't mean perfection, but it means this, a heart for the Lord. Look at verse number two. Verse two, for kings and for all that are authority. This is where I derive that. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Here it is. Get up and walk like a Christian man. Get up and walk like a Christian woman. Why? Live a peaceful life. And oh God, listen, look at this. Here's what the reason. Verse 3. Don't miss it. Verse 3. And I'm almost done. Verse 3. This is good and acceptable. Where? God's watching you. God is watching you. And God's watching me. I tell you what, I've already said it one time. But if for no other reason, do you think God's watching this service right now? Do you think God's watching you, how you respond to his word today? You think he is? Some people, they get the idea of they come to church. They say, well, I'm going to sit in the pew and I'm going to judge the preacher what he says or what he doesn't say. And I'm going to be the judge. But God is saying, no, you're not the judge. I'm the judge, and I'm judging what you do as the preacher is preaching the word of God. There's a big difference there in sitting and critiquing the preacher versus God critiquing you as to me, as to what are we doing once the word of God is being proclaimed. See, God is the judge, not me, not you. He is. And he said, I'm watching you. I'm watching you. And therefore, we need to live and walk. All right, now, quickly. And let me go to number three, and I'm almost done. Will you meet me at the altar? Get on your knees and pray. Will you meet me at the altar? And get up and walk like a Christian. By the way, if you're here today and you say, man, I messed up this week. You know, I lost my temper. Well, you didn't lose it. You found it. But just go ahead and admit it, all right? Or I've been lusting, or I've been watching pornography, or I've been gossiping. Whatever you've been doing, don't let the devil keep you from getting right with God. Okay? Don't let the devil keep you. I've been lying. We'll confess the sin and move on. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then will you not only meet me at the altar, get up and live like a Christian by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to get to the altar today. You can't live the Christian life. I can't. It's not I, but Christ lives in me. Father, cleanse me, fill me, Lord. Fill me with your power. When's the last time you got down with the Lord and said, God, I can't, but you can, and I'm asking you to fill me with your Holy Spirit? Here's the word. Here's the word. I went ahead and copied the word for sight in verse 3. This is good and acceptable to the sight of God. Here it is right here. The word sight is the word enopion. And this word sight, in the sight of God. I thought, well, what does this word mean, in the sight of God? And here's what it means, before the face of, or in the presence of. Before the face of, or in the presence of, in the eyes of. God is watching. That's exactly what it means. And verse number 3, in the sight of God. This is good and acceptable in the face of God. God's watching you and me. And, you know, I don't know any other motive for doing what's right than to know that God is watching you and me. And so we can get by with each other telling each other stuff, but we can't get by. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is complete toward him. Yes, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. God doesn't sleep or slumber. He sees. He knows our heart. He knows the thoughts of our heart. He knows when we sit down. He knows when we rise up. He knows everything about us. That's why we ought to come to the altar today and do business with God. And then notice here in verse 4. Look at verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved come to the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the truth. What am I doing this morning? I'm taking some time to break down every word where you'll see exactly what it means. It's important because a lot of times, you know, preaching and teaching and all that stuff, we just take things at face value. But this is important. This word right here, epignosis, knowledge. Look at verse 4 again. Who have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, what does it mean, the knowledge of the truth? Here's what it means. The epignosis. It is that particular directed towards a particular object, perception, discernment, that we'd come to the discernment of the truth. Man, if we ever needed that, it's surely like these days, as in right now. The knowledge of the truth. Will you meet me at the altar? Will you meet me at the altar? And think about it. Will you meet me at the altar right now? Why? Number one, will you get down on your knees and pray? Meet me at the altar. And I'm going to ask you, and I've got prayer concerns on my heart for the church, New Rocky Creek Baptist Church, 2018, 2019, if the Lord tarries. I mean, today's a big day. Today's one of the biggest days for New Rocky Creek Baptist Church. It really is. You don't realize how big today is. Today is a big day. It's a big day. Why? Because what God wants to do in the coming year will be dependent upon what the people of God will hear God say and will follow through and participate. Now I hear somebody saying, ah, bless God, ain't nobody going to get me to sign any form. Okay? What you're saying is you don't want to be accountable. I know what you're saying. You're saying you don't want to be accountable. You're saying, I'm afraid if I sign some form, then I won't be able to hold out. Well, don't you think God knows that already? Hello? And don't use that lame, blame excuse for not serving God. I ain't going to sign no form. Well, bless the Lord, you go to work, don't you? Yeah, you do. And you're accountable to your job. Oh, yes, you are. But for some reason, when we come to serving God and ministry, we feel like, well, I just think I'll do my own thing. I'll skip in and skip out and be blessed. And that's up to you. I'm sorry to say, but you're missing out, and you will miss out at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm just telling what the Bible says. And furthermore, it's a joy to serve the Lord. I tell you, that's where the real blessings come, in my opinion. And I tell you, every day with Jesus grows sweeter than the day before. It's not easy, but always rewarding. So you just need to examine your heart and say, well, ain't nobody going to tell me to sign no form. Well, why not? Because you're going to do your own thing. You're your own boss. You know, you don't really the blessings of God. Or are you going to just pick and choose what you want to do and nobody's going to know about it? You're going to hit and miss and all that. Well, you need to examine your heart and find out why. If God has saved you, are you saved today? Will you go out and share the good news? You know, are you saved? Are you really saved? And if you're saved, are you serving the Lord? Bottom line, Jesus said, if you want to be great, learn to be a servant. Learn to be a servant. You've been gifted, beloved. You've been gifted with at least one gift. And God gives us those gifts in Romans chapter 12. I don't know what gifts you got, but I know this. I know the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ will be held accountable for the gifts we have either served or not served and be rewarded or suffer loss. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, the judgment seat of Christ. So, let's stand together, can we today?